on clearing the clutter inside and out, we're talking about downsizing. You know the concept, but what is it really like to downsize? How do you downsize if you have years and years of stuff? What else beside the physical stuff would you benefit from downsizing? Learn tips to downsizing as we continue our month focusing on lifestyles. Are you ready to clear your clutter and share your gifts with the world? Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., join me on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out as I teach you how to navigate the waters to declutter your life, get organized, and become more mindful. Every episode, I'll give you take action steps that you can easily apply to your life. Come on, let's get started. Today was inspired because I was driving and heard Ask Jim to speak. Ask Jim and Herb to speak. Full disclosure, Jim is my uncle. He is Uncle Jim. Normally, I don't have family, but I have had the kids on the podcast. So now it's time to get an adult representation for the family. And Jim's partner, Herb, is one of my favorite relatives. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. If you've listened for a while, you know that I have had a few guests on who have changed their life clearing clutter. I always think that these are inspiring, especially if you're feeling like it can't be done. I know it can be overwhelming, and you think that's just for people in magazines. And downsizing is a process that probably most of us are going to have to experience at some point. I know the older I get, the more I want to clear clutter. I've been married, it'll be 5 years this fall, and I don't know if it's being married to me. My husband has become more on board for clearing clutter. It's been really great. He actually said to me the other day, "Hey, can we clear out the guest room closet?" Absolutely. I also wanted to talk about downsizing because more and more people are doing it. But there's a lot to the process, and I thought, why not interview someone that's done it? Uncle Jim also got me thinking about clearing clutter in some different ways as we were talking about doing the interview. I also think downsizing is more realistic for people who listen to my podcast than minimalism. Most people aren't going to be able to be a minimalist. Downsizing is also something you might have been thinking about doing for a while. Quick clarification if it doesn't come off that way. Uncle Jim's super cool too, and a groovy relative. When I was talking about Herb, I was just saying how, you know, you have your family, you're stuck with them no matter what. Although you do have the choice to kick them in the curb or not be involved or whatever. But it's always nice when people marry into the family, become a part of the family, that they're groovy. So Uncle Jim, you're cool too. I just had shot this and then thought about that and thought, oh, I sometimes don't complete my thought. Quick announcement, our next Facebook Mastermind Spring Cleaning begins April 9th. If you started out the new year, said you're going to get organized, clear your clutter, and it hasn't happened yet, it's a really valuable, affordable option for you. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. This is why I do this, people, because I want to live in a world where everyone's sharing their gifts. Go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com, check out under Life Organization Masterminds. This can change your life if you're willing to do the work. So check that out. And finally, the huge announcement, which is several months late and a big deal, on January 17th, Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out hit 1 million downloads. I think we're well beyond that now, but I hadn't announced it. So thank you for everyone that's listening. Thank you for everyone who has rated and reviewed kindly. 1 million downloads as of January 17th. That is a huge deal. I'm not famous. I'm not well known. I am passionate about what I do, and I know I keep it real. So thank you for everyone that listens. Please, if you enjoy it, share it with someone. But 1 million on January 17th is a pretty huge deal. Let me tell you about today's guest. I also realize this is the first time I've interviewed two guests. I always try to remain open to different ideas and to see what different things we can do on the podcast that will benefit our listeners and viewers. Jim Henry's first career out of college, playing basketball professionally in Switzerland, prompted him to write, which in turn prompted him to teach writing. That became his second career, first in Virginia, then in Hawaii. He retired from the University of Hawaii at Manoa in 2016 and returned to Delaware to live, where he tries to control a burgeoning hosta garden with his partner Herb Burgess. In 2017, Jim published a magical realist gardening mystery, Hosta Seizure, which was released in Kindle format in 2018. Herb Burgess's career as an art supply salesman for over 35 years in the Southeast paralleled his interest in color, forms, and compositions. He has won numerous awards for his still nature photography, and he is among the pioneers in kinetic photography, moving his camera to capture abstract images that display beautifully on glass. He has an online gallery. Welcome, Uncle Jim and Herb. So let's get started. We've got a lot to talk about today. So you both moved to Hawaii and then came back to the state. How did you downsize your stuff? What was the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge was calculating what size of a container we would want to have to bring our stuff back. When we moved over there, I was recruited by the university, so they paid for a container to get us there. And coming back, I was on my own. So we decided that there were certain things that we would leave behind and other things that we definitely wanted to bring with us. For example, I left three huge IKEA bookshelves full of my academic books behind because since I was retiring, my academic career was attenuated. And that was quite a bit of space in the pod. We left our wonderful landlord was nice enough to buy a lot of our furniture from us because he wanted to rent the apartment that we were vacating and which you visited, furnished. So that enabled us to narrow down really to the most important essentials, wouldn't you say? Yeah.
And you got it. How big was the pod that you had to get everything down to?
Do you remember?
6 by 6.
6 foot wide, I think 8 feet tall, maybe 8 feet deep. It was loading. It was like reverse Jenga, trying to fit everything we could to max out the space. When we came down, we had one. I kind of wanted to bring back my zero gravity chair, my favorite chair, but it had to be left behind. So we left it with our wonderful landlord as a present.
Well, it's, you know, they say the average house has like 300,000 items. So when you think about, yeah, it's a stat that I read not too long ago. So when you think about packing all you're taking, bringing back, that's really not a lot.
Yeah, we didn't want to match things we had here. So we had
some duplicates. And the other thing, as you know, living in Hawaii, all the spaces are smaller unless you're a mega millionaire. So we had already adjusted to, you know, not having an excess of stuff we didn't need.
I took a picture of your kitchen and posted it on Instagram when I was over there because you guys did such a great job in a small kitchen of really utilizing space.
You know, it's interesting you should mention that because you may remember we had a high table with butcher block next to the sink. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, Herb had brought that butcher block from Decatur up here to Rehoboth before we shipped the initial container to Hawaii. And that was kind of a keepsake that we wanted to bring back. So it's now here. We sanded it down and it's part of, I'm gesturing over my shoulder because we're redoing our kitchen and the butcher block now sits in the kitchen as a new counter.
Nice. Now, but I know when you guys moved back, you did more downsizing because I got Grandmother Henry's china. So talk a little bit about that because you, even though you released stuff from moving from Hawaii, you ended up, I know to Herb's children brought some stuff. So what was going on with that?
With Grandmother Henry's china, you know, you figure china is kind of something nice if it stays in the family. And frankly, Herb and I don't hold too many formal dinner parties, so we don't use the china that often. And, you know, you had a nice connection to my mother, so that seemed like a logical thing to do and something we wanted to do.
You know, and sometimes in your life, you got to let those things go. Move them on. Get them out of your attic and put them, you know, where somebody can see.
Yeah. But so did you have, was it easy? Well, it sounds like it was definitely easy for you to let that stuff go. But, you know, you gave other stuff. Did you find it was for some people, it's an excruciating process. You know, I think that really has to do, I help, you guys know Claire, Emma, and Max, and I helped them clear stuff before they moved. Emma was like, whatever, I can let it go. Max was really good and only, and they were younger, a little bit younger. And Max would just need a little bit of guidance. And Claire was like Justin. And so that was more of a, we had to talk and work through it and think through things. And so personality really comes into it.
It does.
But as you get older, it's easier to let go.
Yeah. I'd found the older we get, we just decluttered two of the closets and are working. I'm like, we're getting rid of a ton of stuff. Just don't want it around.
You bring something in, you take something out.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, Uncle Jim, talk about this because we had a great conversation and we were going to talk about interviewing. How the talk that I did on the junk drawer, which is one of my favorites, how did that inspire you to rethink? Because you just mentioned you're remodeling your kitchen. So you kind of gave a new twist on downsizing.
Well, our kitchen, the house here, which I bought in 1991 and which has been our house together since 2002, when we were in Hawaii during the academic year, we would rent this house out. And so consequently, we weren't making any big improvements to it, you know, because just a question of where you allocate your resources. And so finally, when I retired, we looked at the kitchen and there was this junk drawer, which, you know, I said, oh, Julie did an episode on this too. And, you know, we could learn something from that. And one of the things that we did was to say, okay, this drawer, we took a really hard look at the kitchen and what every single thing where it was and how that related to functionality. And the junk drawer, of course, is just, or was, just where you throw stuff that you can't figure out where else it can go. And turns out that drawer was much better for cutlery. So we eliminated the drawer. I actually built a new quasi-junk drawer, except now it's divided up into compartments, and it only gets stuff in there that is stuff we genuinely use.
Did your New Year's resolution to get organized and clear clutter slip by the wayside? Are you tired of saying you will get organized and clear clutter, but it never happens? When was the last time you did a thorough spring cleaning? Would you like to save money and time while gaining peace of mind? My proven coaching, training, decluttering and organizing tips can get you where you need to be quickly. Our Spring Cleaning Facebook Mastermind community can support you begins April 9th. Come on, join us. Herb, I want you to share. This was when Uncle Jim told me this. I thought this was awesome. So when he sends, he's getting some clutter going on, what do you do?
I'm right behind him uncluttering. I needed everything organized. I need it in its place where I can find it. And I that's what I do with him. I try to make him put things back where they came from and so we can find things. That's what I like to do.
Our house at the moment is entirely decluttered with the exception of my office / second spare bedroom because Herbal like nudge a box into my office, which is something I should have gotten to a long time ago, but I haven't. So I guess his approach is if I completely surround him with the junk that needs to declutter one of these days, he'll get to it. And wow. Usually I do.
Yeah, you know what? It's a process.
And
there are certain things that I think are more challenging. Like I have limited the books to one bookcase. I love books. But then Sybil, who is my dear friend, said to me, you know, if it's just sitting there on the bookcase not getting use, you know, give it away. And so that's hard for me. But I'm like, you know what? There are some books I read every year or every couple years or reference books. I'm like, keeping that. But I've limited myself to one bookcase, which has helped.
Yeah. Yes, enormously. Yeah.
When you downsize, a lot of times I feel there are mental, emotional, spiritual components. Downsizing just isn't about the physical stuff. So can you guys talk to that? Did you find you had any challenges or epiphanies in those areas?
No, we just recently cleaned up our attic, and we had to go through boxes of pictures and things like that. And no, I guess we really...
I think we've decided, you know, one of the things that retirement does for you, or did to me at least, was meeting with all the officers, you know, in my HR department to go through the steps. And part of those steps include, okay, you know, if I pass on before her, you know, where, you know, how does my pension get allocated to him? You know, questions like that, where you are in very pragmatic terms having to think about end of life stuff. And it kind of gets your brain into a set where you're thinking, okay, if we die tomorrow, we've got this attic full of stuff. Who's going to have to deal with that?
Yeah.
Isn't it better that we deal with it now so that it doesn't fall into somebody else's lap?
I'm so glad you guys said that, because I've had to deal with clients like that. And depending on if you're in the middle of grief and, you know, there are things people need to think about, like, do you want your Facebook account to still go on, that people just don't think, and someone else has to clean that up. Someone else has to deal with it. And, you know, a lot of times the kids, they don't want to deal with it. They don't want this stuff. And the parents are thinking, oh, well, hold on to it. It's something you would want. And they're like, no. And that can become, you know, it can become a burden, just
absolutely,
mentally, emotionally, and all of that. So what advice would you have, since you guys have kind of gone through this process a couple times, what would you say to people who are downsizing?
I would say think hard about categories. Think about, for instance, we're in the process now of building a pantry outside of space that we've grabbed out of our garage. And in designing that pantry, and here's the interesting thing, is this is where downsizing also feeds into imagination and design, I think, because we put up just a basic industrial set of shelves out there and lived with that for a year. And in doing so, realize, oh, we don't need this, we don't need that, we don't need this. And this goes here, that goes there. And eventually we ended up doing sketches on paper and saying, this is what our new pantry is going to look like. And we eliminated some stuff. And I don't think we took on too much extra stuff.
No.
Stuff like replacing the old dustbuster that wasn't working, you know, those kinds of things. But one thing came in, another thing went out.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think you, when you do something like that, you realize there's a lot of stuff you really don't need.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I think we live in this culture, especially in America, sorry, let you finish your thought, where we have to have all the time, buy, be a consumer.
We do. Now, for her, fortunately, both Herb and I share an aesthetic. We really like Asian aesthetics, which, as you know, is clean, clear lines, not a whole lot of clutter lying about. And so that in itself helps us decide, you know, that we're not going to have a whole bunch of stuff, because it just doesn't look like we like stuff to look for the most part.
Now, I wanted to ask you also, because, you know, I know you guys listen to podcasts. I'm always talking. It's not just about the physical for me. So you recently, last year, which I read and I reviewed it, so you can read my review, Uncle Jim published his first non-academic, and I hope there's going to be a follow-up. He can at least get a trilogy out of it, as far as I'm concerned. But so you, you know, published your first non-fiction book, non-academic book. Did you have to downsize any doubt? Because I know that there are a lot of creative people that listen to this, and I think it's great you self-published. So did you have to downsize any doubt when you went into that new arena?
You know, that's a great question. And I never heard that metaphor, downsizing doubt, but it certainly is a good one. I think I did, actually. What happened with that book was, it started, both Herb and I are avid hosta enthusiasts. We have a garden with a couple hundred varieties. And one time about 7 or 8 years ago, we were out and Herb said, oh, I really think Maui Buttercups looks good this year. And I said, shh, don't say that in front of the other hosta. And so that started it all. We started, you know, imbuing them with personality, and I would carry my iPod around with me, and I'd have it when we were gardening. It was in my hip pocket. If I got an idea, I would write it down. And that eventually grew into a novel, a magical realist novel, that the American Hospice Society serialized on in virtual form, in digital form, on their website. And I got some good response on that. And but that kind of stayed there. And then when I retired, I kind of thought, well, maybe I should do this. I don't know. Are people going to like it? And so I started leafing back through it and came to a passage. This was written in 2012 and 2013. And one of the central characters is Demetrio Perez. He's an immigrant Mexican gardener who specializes in hostas. And in 2012, he's thinking aloud to himself and says, gee, what would happen if one of these political candidates who really is making a way by, you know, rousing up people against immigration should move forward on the national stage and gain some prominence? What would happen? And when I read that, I thought, oh my God, this is still current. You know, this actually does work. And the funniest thing, I contacted one of my former colleagues at George Mason University, Roger Lathbury, who has his own small press. And I said, I wrote him an email and I said, can I meet with you to talk about the possibility of a small run of a publication? He said, send me the Word file. And I said, oh, okay. And a week later, he was back with, I can do it like this. We'll set it in Garamond. I'm like, Roger. You're moving ahead pretty fast here. And he says, well, just do it. And so, you know, that was kind of the downsizing of doubt that I needed to realize, oh, I can publish this in paperback and do a lot of the work myself. And it came to fruition.
Fantastic.
And I'm happy to say, 9 months later, the Kindle edition came out. So it's moving along.
Fantastic. I think I always encourage people, you know, I think one of the things, you know, you worked with someone, but self-publishing is also an option for people who just want to get their stuff out there. And I still don't understand. I haven't read or seen any of the 50 Greys or whatever they are. And, you know, they made $1 billion, which she obviously tapped into something that women need and did it all on her own, self-published. That's how it started. And people referred it and it grew from there.
Yeah.
I like
my primary reader. I always run my chapters by him to get a response. But you know, the basic thumbs up or thumbs down or no, I don't think that's such a good idea. So
no, that's I like that. Now I always like to have people have take actions. I like to do at the end of the podcast so they don't sit on their butt and they move forward. Do you have any take actions regarding downsizing, whether it's doubt, the physical stuff that you'd like to share with people?
Like I say, if you bring something in, take something out. We, in Hawaii, we'd always go get Aloha shirts, but that's one big thing we did. If you get bought one, you had to get rid of
one. Take one out.
Good job.
One comes in from Goodwill, one goes back to Goodwill.
That's,
Very good. All right, any others?
Yes. If there's something in your life that hasn't been actively used, in the past 2 or 3 years, you know, you've been through the seasons now, 3 cycles, there's a really good chance that it ain't going to get used again, you know, unless it's one of those exceptional things like, oh, I don't know, a tuxedo. I still have my tuxedo. When I'm going to wear this thing, I don't know. But it's the kind of thing that, you know, as soon as I give it away, who knows? I'll get invited to a black tie ball.
I got rid of mine.
Well,
that's what I said. You can rent stuff now. Or
true.
They're trying to keep it in a closet, and you got to get it cleaned. And clothing is probably a hard thing for a lot of people to get rid of. They think they might outgrow it, and they think they're going to lose enough weight to keep it in. They keep it. Then they got it 20 years still sitting in their closet.
And it was on your body, right? So you have that corporal kind of connection.
Connection. I always tell people, trust that you'll get what you need when you need it. And
right.
That allows you to trust in a higher being, whether it's your sovereign self, the universe, God, whatever makes sense to you. But begin to build that trust and that you'll figure out a way. Like you said, you can rent things today. There are lots of options. We have more and more options each day.
Now, when you travel, you don't have to carry so much clothes. You can just go out and buy some if you need it.
And you'll be happy to know that you are now kind of our catchphrase when I'll say, you know, Julie would say this is clutter. And so then the conversation goes on from there.
Excellent. That makes me happy. We downsized the guest bedrooms and we're doing our main closet tomorrow. And I have to say, because I know, you know, Herb, you shared, along with you, I'm more organized than Tony. I mean, you know, we're good balance. Like, Tony can fold a fitted sheet. I mean, that's like a unicorn. I mean, who do you know that can fold a fitted sheet? But he has come around now. Like he said the other day, can we, you know, go through the closets in the guest room? I'm like, absolutely. So, after 4.5 years of marriage, you know, finally coming to fruition. Now, I want you guys to share. I mentioned I read your bios at the beginning. So, Herb, please share where people can check out your photography. And he also makes, maybe explain your site a little bit, because you made a cutting board for us that's on one of your kinetic photos. And then, Uncle Jim, tell people where they can buy Hosta Seizure.
The cutting board, was it the glass? Yes. Glass board?
Yes.
Yep.
It's glass, yeah. It's just a kinetic photographer and do, I guess, more abstract. It's abstract. And whatever I do, then I have the companies put it on the glass or put it on a, what else we put? Aluminum.
Yeah.
That's good. And on paper if you want it. And you can go to, I guess it's ibherb.com?
.me.
And it will take you right to where you need to go see these photographs.
Yeah, it's great because it has, you can go on and you have that whole palette and you can look at dozens and dozens of images and then you choose what medium you want them to be printed on. In my opinion, they look great on glass. That's why we gave you the one we gave you. And really vivid colors, beautiful forms. Mm-hmm. They're quite lovely, in my humble opinion.
And check that out. And that's ibherb.me. And then I'll put in the liner notes too. We'll put links to that. And so where can people buy Hosta Seizure?
Hosta Seizure is available in paperback form. HostaSeizure.com is the website. You can order a paperback form there or on Amazon in Kindle form. You know, that's super easy. If you have a Read Anywhere account, it's free. If not, I think it's $3.99. There are occasional specials.
All right, fantastic. All right, any final words of wisdom y'all would like to share?
Our pantry will be done probably sometime within the week. And it's everything has a place, and there's a place for everything.
Fantastic.
And we've been up in the attic, so you might have another box coming
to
you.
Right.
Some items in it.
You don't have to clear with the stuff that we were uncluttering.
That's all right, because I'm clear. I clear every year. We go through everything. So it is a constant getting it out of the house. I don't want it.
This makes sense.
I was at a home not too long ago, 4 or 5 months ago. Probably hadn't done anything in 30 or 40 years. And so there were, they were outdoor people, but they had rat poop on camping equipment. So, you know, I was like, you've got to clean this or share. So stuff that they used more so at one point. So anyway, because it gets in there and you have to worry about rodents and everything. So there was that. There were books shoved under the bed. It was kind of like the clutter was, you'd walk into a room. It was a little bit cluttered, but then there was more clutter hidden. And so, you know, but they hadn't done anything in 30 or 40 years. So if you don't, and you keep bringing in, that's what happens.
You know, the other one other thing, Herb gets on me because there's stuff that he just wants to throw out and I want to recycle. We're pretty good about recycling and repurposing, but I have, for example, boxes and boxes of old audio cassettes that I used for my previous research projects where I had interviews, and nobody uses that technology anymore. And you can't really throw them in the dump. You cannot recycle them, you know, in your basic, you know, home recycling. Mm. So I found a place on the internet where I can send them a box, but it's an issue of certain kinds of Mylar work and other kinds don't. And so it's kind of complicated to recycle and repurpose certain categories of items. And it's that extra obstacle to doing it that gets in your way that can sometimes make a bit of a challenge.
Right. No, that's totally true. And that's where Google's your friend and you just have to do a little research. And, you know, we just started in Raleigh. It's starting next week. We got big orange plastic bags, but you can put clothes, shoes, accessories, which I think is great because it's like, okay, you just have to put it in the bag and take it to the curb.
Because, that's nice. You know,
not everyone follow. I'm uptight about recycling and I go nuts if Tony you know, putting them, that doesn't go in the trash, put it in the recycling. I mean, I'm just, Justin and I are both really like that way. And so, but people don't follow that and recycle. And, you know, our recycle bin's always full because we recycle everything that we're allowed to. So it's just simply becoming aware, what are our laws, and then following them. And, you know, I am recording a class right now in spring cleaning, and I have a whole section on green chips. And I said, if you don't think it matters, think about South Africa. As I'm recording this in February, day zero of no water is in April, early April. And they started too late with conservation efforts, and they were able to push it back a little bit, but they're going to run out of water.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine being in a city of that size and not having water. Mm-hmm. So it's about becoming aware and thinking, you know, it's not just about me and what I consume, how it has a direct effect. Because, oh, I'm not going to follow the water conservation laws, that's for everyone else. Well, then look what happens. I can't even imagine having to wait for water every day and you know, doing a sponge bath. I'd go nuts. So, you know, you have to think about the bigger implications.
You know, this does cycle back to hosta seizure, because when I was giving personalities to these hostas, I had to figure what kind of a culture they would have. And because they all originated in East Asia, they have much more of a collectivist culture than North Americans do. And so their sacred mantra is the destiny of each is tied to all. And that applies equally to humans too.
Yeah, the book is very relevant today and of what's going on. And, you know, and that's what I appreciate. And I appreciated that your main character wasn't our typical hero and someone, you know, because that was nice. Like someone you're like, oh, no, but steps up.
Well, thank you. You'll be happy to know I have started drafting the second volume. And in fact, I submitted one chapter to a local writing contest. And Agnes Doolittle is emerging as quite the stronger feature here. So she could end up being, who knows, maybe a central heroine.
Nice. Nice. I like that. All right, guys. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts on downsizing.
Thank you. It's been lovely. And
look, are you familiar with FreeCycle?
Yes.
Oh, good.
We use that actively here, and we love it.
Of all the stuff we were going through, we pick it right out and got it. Most everything went, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's FreeCycle, right, which is a great resource you can post. And what I do is it's on the curb, come and get it. It's been claimed, take it off. And you know, I talked about that the other day because I had, before I met Tony, who can fix just about everything, I had a weed whacker that had broken down. And I took it, and they're like, it's going to cost more than it would cost me to buy a new one to fix it. So I put on FreeCycle. This is what's wrong. If you're a smart person, come and get it and fix it. And if they used it or if they sold it for a profit, I didn't care because it didn't end up in the trash can and save it that way. So FreeCycle, thank you. The great resource.
Absolutely. We love it.
All right, guys. Thanks.
See ya.
On our next episode, we are talking about Kigea. Go out, clear the clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. Are you ready to live a more joyful and fulfilling life? Sign up for our newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com and receive a free copy of 10 Steps to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love it if you would rate and review the show because it really helps us in the search ranking. See you next Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Remember, when you clear your clutter, you can create the life you desire.